Hi, my name is Luciana. I'm a program manager for the Python extension in Visual Studio Code. And in this presentation, I'm going to go over Python development with Visual Studio Code. I'm going to start by giving a brief background on VS Code, the Python extension that we'll be showing here today. And then we're going to jump to a demo. And in this demo, I'm really hoping you'll see how you can leverage from the features in the Python extension and VS Code to your own applications that you may be want to develop with Python. But here we're going to go over a app that starts with web scraping and plotting explorations with Jupyter notebooks. Then we convert that to a Python script. Then we're going to create a Flask app that is going to use that script. And then we're going to create a configuration to run that Flask app in VS Code and debug as well. And we're going to give a brief overview of the application's tasks, how you can set that up in VS Code as well, if time permits. So, I'm going to start by a brief background. So, VS Code is Microsoft's lightweight cross-platform open source editor, and it comes with built-in support for JavaScript, TypeScript, Node.js, but you can extend it through extensions. So, you can install extensions to customize your development experience. Your development experience as you want. In 2019, it was selected as the most popular development environment in the Stack Overflow Developer Survey. So more than half of all the respondents said they used VS Code as their dev environment, which is pretty cool. As for Python, in that same survey, it was elected as the most popular major programming language. It's widely used for a wide range of projects, but it's very, very popular as well in the data science world since it has a very simple syntax, so it's easy to get started with programming in general when it comes to Python. But also, it has so many packages and libraries for data science and machine learning projects related as well, which makes it very suitable for this world. But it's also very used for automation, scripting, and web development. There are a lot of web app frameworks that you can use with Python as well. And in between those two, we have the Python extension. It was created in 2016 as a pet project of a developer called Don Jaimony. And in 2017, Microsoft hired Don to keep working on his project, but under the Microsoft umbrella. And in 2020, the current status is that it has over 19,000 installs. It's the most popular extension in VS Code, and it's also selected as the second most used development tool for Python projects, which is pretty exciting as well. And the features that it offers include, but are not limited to, IntelliSense, like auto-completions, Jupyter Notebook support, debugging, environment handling testing, as well as some editing features. And it also support a lot of open source tools that are popular and that can help your Python development, like MyPy, Pylint, Flakehate, Black, etc. All I'm going to show today is going to be running locally on my machine, but you can have the best out of the remote experience as well from the VS Code remote extensions. They allow VS Code to run as a server, as a machine that as in a virtual machine that you access through SSH or a Docker container running locally on your machine, as well as WSL. The UI runs locally, but VS Code and the tools and all the runtime is running in that remote scenario. So you leverage from the resources there are not necessarily on your machine while you still have that same local experience, which is pretty awesome. As for Visual Studio Online, it gives you the ability to have that same experience from VS Code, but on a browser. So you can access it from a tablet or a phone or any device that offers browser support, which is also pretty exciting. So I'm going to jump to the demo. And in this demo, what I'm going to do is display this word cloud in this shape in a Flask app. This is an application that I did because I wanted to create something that could represent my team. So I created a script that goes to our documentation and scrapes and gets a few words and then put them into a word cloud and then put them in this shape following the Python logo as a mask and then add that into a Python Flask application that simply displays this image for me. And again, I'm going to show the workflow of how I did this with the Python extension, and I hope you will learn how you can take the best out of it for your development as well, no matter what workflow you're going to follow. So I usually always get started with scripting, and usually always with a hello world, because I want to start with making sure everything is working. So a few features that can help you getting started with scripting VS Code and the Python extension are the built-in file explorer that allows you to create files and folders and move them around right there in the editor. There's also a built-in terminal that allows you to just install your packages and navigate and simply run your application as well there in the editor. If you are used to other IDEs or editors key bindings, you can also install extensions that will customize VS Code to follow the same similar key bindings that you are used to. That's pretty nice as well. And there's also a run button that you can use to run your scripts, and that can be handy when you're getting started as well. So I'm going to show how that looks. I'm going to start by opening the terminal. And here I'm going to navigate to a folder where I'm going to create my projects folder. So I'm going to call it simple. I'm going to cd into it, and I'm going to open this current folder in VS Code by typing code dot. Awesome, we can see that VS Code is opening here. And it opened my folder that I can see here on the File Explorer on the left-hand side. And it's telling me it's suggesting me to install the remote WSL extension since it detected that I do have WSL installed. I'm going to ignore this by now, but you should definitely check out the remote extensions talk that will go into it more, and it's really awesome. So I come here, I can create a new file by clicking on this icon next to my folder name. I'm going to call it hello.py. Once you're doing this for the first time, the VS Code will notify you that the Python extension is recommended for it and will ask you to install it if you want to install it. I already have it here, but you can also come from the extensions view here on the activity bar and look for Python and look for any other extensions you'd like to look as well. There are a lot of extensions there in the marketplace that you can select that. Great, so coming back here to my file, I can see that the Python extension selected an environment for me, which is this one that is Python 3.8. I can change it by clicking here and then selecting a different one from the list of available environments that are in my machine. I'm fine with that one for now. So I'm just going to go and start my script. Hello world, saving it. And here there's this run file that I can simply click. And once I do it, it will open the terminal for me and it will run my script. And it's actually calling that same environment that I selected here, as we can see. Awesome. So we've seen how you can get started with VS Code. You can open VS Code from the terminal, create a file through the File Explorer. Then we've seen how you can, multiple ways you can install the Python extension as well as other extensions from the extension view. And how you can change your interpreter by clicking there on the status bar. We've also seen that run file where you can just run your script easily with one click. And now we're going to see how Jupyter Notebooks fit into this situation. For my application, I wanted to do a little bit of exploration in terms of plotting and what kind of visualizations I wanted to have. And I felt that Jupyter Notebooks would be a great opportunity to do it since it comes with this interactive paradigm that you create with cells that are markdown-based, text-based, and then you have cells that are code, so you can intercalate them, and it's great for exposing results as well and sharing out That's why it's so widely used for data science projects too, and in the educational world as well. So I'm not gonna go super deep into the features that the Python Extension offers for Jupyter Notebooks, because there is a separate talk for it that I definitely recommend you to watch. It's called "For You to Supercharge the Data Science Experience Using VS Code and Python," and you should definitely check it out. But just to name a few of the features that are supported there is the editing support for Jupyter Notebooks, so you can have IntelliSense support auto completions when you're editing your code cells. There's a plot viewer, a variable explorer, and a data viewer that allow you to interact and visualize these elements in a more convenient way than using print statements, for example. And there's also the ability to convert to a Python file. So if you're ready to deploy a module or to just really get a script out of that notebook that you've done, this can be very useful too. So I'm going to show how that looks with my application. So to get started, what I started doing is I could create a file with the IPython extension to have a notebook, or I could run a command from the Python extension to run it. This is usually the one that I do. So for me to do that, I'm going to open the command palette by typing Ctrl Shift P. If you're on Mac, it would be Command Shift P. And the command palette deserves its own comment in VS Code. It's really a hub of all the commands that VS Code offer in the extensions as well. And if you're looking for specific extensions, you can also look for them here. And in this case, this is the command that I was looking for. But currently, you do need to have Jupyter installed. If you don't, the Python extension will try to fetch an environment on your machine that has it, or it will install it for you. But because we're talking about installing packages, I always recommend to use a virtual environment to isolate your dependencies and packages so you don't mess up with your global environment. And it really avoids a lot of headaches down the road. So I'm going to create one. Because I'm on Windows, I'm going to call the launcher. I'm going to do Python-3.7 to specify a version, and I'm going to call a module called vmv, which is the built-in module from Python that creates virtual environments. And once you're doing this on your machine, you're going to see a notification prompt from the Python extension saying you can select this for your workspace. Because this is a live demo, of course, it's not working, but I can also easily select this one by clicking on the status bar and selecting this newly created script. But it's very handy when the extension detects that too and does that selection for you, provided you accept it to do it. And great, once the environment is created, I can run this Python file again, for example, and it will use this newly selected environment that I selected here. I can also create a new terminal, and the Python extension will activate that environment. If I do Python dash dash version, we'll see that it's using the correct one. And I can go ahead here and, for example, install Jupyter. This would be the command to install Jupyter from pip. And then you can create your, we can create a new blank Jupyter notebook running this command. I already have it all set up here, so I'm going to jump to that project. So here I have this notebook that I have already run. The few main differences here is I have already installed Jupyter in this environment. I have a few images that I'm working with. I also added a gitignore file to ignore the changes that are happening under that virtual environment. You don't want to be sharing these contents on your GitHub repo most of the time. So I can go into it more into what this code is doing once I convert this into a Python script, but just to give an overview of how the Jupyter support works in VS Code, we see the markdown cells and the code cells. We can run individual ones. We can also change their types to markdown or to code by clicking on these icons. But here, this is what I started doing, just generating a pretty bare bones. Word cloud, And then I started doing something a bit more interesting by putting masks, given those image files that I have, and then finally getting to one that I could work with. So it's based on this mask. So basically, I pass this to the word cloud package and it will print that word cloud given those colors. So that's pretty awesome. What I did next was to convert this to a Python script by clicking on this button here. And this is very convenient because I do want to create a Flask application and it will fetch from a script. So not having to just manually copy and paste cells is very inconvenient. Once I click on that button, it converted my file. We can see the markdown tasks pieces of code were translated into comments and code cells are all here. All these cells are defined by hashtag %%, and by doing that, you can run your cells individually. You can also set up like a breakpoint and debug this cell, for example. So that's pretty nice as well. So a quick recap, we've seen this UI for Jupyter Notebooks rendering. We haven't seen all the features that it supports. There are many and they're really awesome. So do check the talk that goes really more into it. And we've seen that this experience is very similar to Jupyter Labs if you're familiar with it, which is a very popular platform to handling Jupyter Notebooks. Now I'm going to take a look into how that fits into the web development work. So again, I wanted to have that script to create an image and then use that in the Flask application. A few features that were very helpful and I think are very helpful when it comes to web development with VS Code and Python extension is that VS Code offers really amazing support for front-end development. So when you're talking about JavaScript, TypeScript, CSS, HTML, support is really great. And for your Python backend, you can rely on formatting support and import sorting as well as linting to make sure you're following best practices and having a even more readable code. So I'm going to show how I started creating that web app, giving my application. So coming back here, we had this file that I can simply just save and then do some cleaning, but I have already done that. So I'm going to close this. I'm going to open this Python file. And here, what I've done is just cleaned up those cells. I put all the imports here on this messy list on the top of my file, and then I created methods for creating my code. So this all starts with just generate fig function that receives an URL and a path to a mask as arguments. And then here I'm just parsing the content, giving that URL. I'm opening the image that is given from the mask and then passing it to this generate word cloud that will give that content and that mask to the word cloud package to generate it. And then giving that result, it will generate that image. And I'm going to save it into these path that I defined and return that to whoever is calling this method. One nice thing as well is that if you're looking for this kind of tests, this kind of code, and you want to see what are the declarations and what are the definitions of each one of these methods, you can do so by right-clicking and going to go to declaration or even getting all the references or go to definition. And there are also shortcuts that you can use to go there. Great. So having that script, I could just call it and then generate the image, or I could call it as part of my application to generate that. But I already have the image generated just to save up some time. So here is what we're going to be displaying at the end after I construct my app. So I'm going to get started. I'm going to create a folder for my app. I'm going to call it logo underscore app. I want to move my file here, my script, to this app because it's very specific to it. Same for the images. And I'm going to create a file called init.py just to specify that this is going to be a package. And following Flask documentation, I'm going to import Flask here and instantiate app here as well, passing the module name here. Great. So that is done. Now I'm going to create the views file where I'm going to add the endpoints for my Flask application. I'm going to right click here, select new file, do views.py. And from views, I'm going to import the app. And for the views, I could just follow the documentation from Flask again, but I'm going to rely on code snippets that I configured in VS Code. Just to show how that works, if I type Flask app, I have a snippet here that once I hit tab, it will import Flask and will insert this piece of code for me in this very convenient way. So going back here on the command palette, if I type user snippets, you can see that you can configure them. You can configure them by language. So I'm going to open here the Python one. And this is where I defined that snippet. I'm calling it, defining that I'm going to call it from Flask app. I'm defining what I'm going to edit, what's going to be added once you type that. And that's pretty much it. So that's very convenient once you're reusing pieces of code across different projects, if you're doing, for example, Flask applications or Django as well. Great. So we can see that it's returning this index file. But I don't have an index file here. It's just like a template. So I'm going to create a folder to put my templates in. And here I'm going to create this file, index.html. And because Flask handles with templates by default, I don't have to do a lot of customization for now. So here, though, I'm also going to rely on snippets that I define for HTML files. I have one that is called for Jinja template. Jinja is just a web engine that handles templates and web apps, and it's very popular for Python too. So, for Python as well. And here I have just really this piece of code with HTML tags. We have here this template content and blocks. And here, though, it's calling for a site CSS file under a static folder that I still don't have either. So, I'm going to create them. Once I do it, I can create this static folder. And I'm going to send my images under the static folder since they are static too. So, and here under static, I'm going to create a file called site.css where I'm going to customize the appearance of my elements. For all web designers that may be watching this, I'm sorry about what I'm going to do. But right now, I just really want to set up something very simple. I'm going to put all my elements with the background color as black. And here, this is really nice. VS Code shows me like these auto completion options with like a preview of the colors that are going to be set there. Great. So I'm saving this. I have the CSS file. And here, I'm not doing much other than just calling the CSS file here. So I want to display an image. So I'm going to add an image tag. And this, I could hard code the search since I already have the file there, but I don't want to do it. I want to pass this as an argument, and this is how I'm going to define it as a variable so that the template engine handles this for me. Great. Now all I need to do is pass this image to this index.html file. And I'm going to do it that from the render template function. I'm going to put image equals, I can put like a simple output. And output we'll need to define given the results of that function that we defined in our generate logo module. So here we see that I have to pass a URL and a path to a mask. So I can just call that module generate logo.generateFig and pass these two variables. Now I need to define what are these variables. So the URL is here on my notebook. I can go fetch it easily. Now I just need to define the mask path. The mask path is going to be, I could hard code it and just get the path to the mask that I'm gonna use, that is this one. But I don't want this to be Windows specific. I want to be able to use this in different OSs as well. So I'm gonna use the pathlib library to help me with that. So I'm gonna call path. I'm gonna get the path to the current file that this is going to be running in. And I wanna get to this Python colored file that is under images, statics, and logo app. So the parent of the file that is going to be here is logo app. So I can do dot parent and then concatenate with the other folders that will lead me to my file. This is just a way for us to make this system agnostic. Great. So now I save this file and we can see that it's still complaining that about these two things. It's telling me that it doesn't know what pathlib is. So if I click here, I can see the light bulb, and it's giving me a suggestion of import statements that I can call to solve this, which is really nice. So I can call the right thing and hit save. Here we can see that it's not very well formatted. It's not very great, easy to read this. So there are a few things that I can do. I can start by sorting the imports here. So I can open the command palette and run sort imports. And we can see that it gave me this nice view, but I can also format my code so that it follows really better formatting. If I right click on the editor, I can get select format document. And the Python extension will ask if I want to use AutoPAP to do it, but I actually want to use Black. Once I hit this, it will open the terminal, install Black for me, and then format this document. But because I already have it installed, I'm going to just close this and click format document. Awesome, so it just formatted these lines and that's great. I also have this file here, but before I go into it, I have just want to make sure my app is almost done. So I have my endpoint, it's calling the right things. I just don't have an entry point for my application. So I can right click here, create new file, and I'm gonna create like a webapp.py just to be this entry point for it, my app. And here I'm just going to import my app definition as well as the views. Awesome. So that's pretty much it. However, I am importing a lot of packages, especially here in this file. And not everything is, if you're doing this for the first time, it's not going to be installed in your environment. And a nice way that you can do is like you can install these individual packages by your own, on your own. But I learned a nice way for you to do it through a requirements.in file. So I'm going to show how that works. First, this list of imports is messy, so I'm going to hand over that. I'm going to open the command palette and run sort imports again. And you can actually configure VS Code to sort your imports and format as well on every time you save a file. So that's really convenient too. And you can do it by setting up this settings.json file, or you can come to files, preferences, settings, and then looking around for format on save and sort organizing ports on save as well, or code actions that you're going to set up for to be run on save. Great. So I sorted my imports and it divided them into these two chunks of code, a list of standard libraries that you don't have to install because they're built into Python, and the packages that you will need to install because they're third-party ones. So what I'm going to do to install them is, let me collapse all of this. I'm going to create a new file called requirements.in. I'm going to move this out of that logo app folder. And here I'm going to list all those requirements that I will need to install. So I'm using HTTPX to do requests for URLs. I could use requests, which is also a very popular package, but in this case I'm using HTTPX. We can install NumPy for handling arrays, Pillow for handling the images, WordCloud for generating the word clouds. I'm also using Beautiful Soup 4 to do parsing of HTML, as well as Matplotlib to display those plots, and of course Flask. Great, so now that I have this requirements.in file, I can open the terminal. I did control backtick here. And I can install a framework that is called pip tools. So I'm calling it here to install with pip. I already have it installed, but if you don't, this is the command that you would run. And once you run it, you will run pip.compile once you have that installed. And what pip compile will do is get this list of this requirements.in file, and it's going to generate a requirements.txt file with all the dependencies for each one of these packages listed, and it will specify the latest versions for each one of them. And it's very nice because with this file, I can now upload it to my GitHub repo, and anyone who wants to follow this out can install it by using exactly the same versions that I am using. This way, we can make sure things will work. So we can see that it specifies here all the libraries and packages and the specific versions, which is great. So I'm going to install them here. If I do Python dash m pip install dash r requirements.txt, you don't need to keep doing Python dash m when you are in the virtual environment, but I really created a habit to do so. And yes, once you hit enter, it will install all these dependencies for you. I already have them installed, but great. So now that we have the app, that's pretty much it. So a quick recap into all the things that we did in terms of editing, creating a web application. You've seen how you can sort imports and format your code to make it more readable. And for sorting imports, it also helps you to set up your environment by creating that requirements.in file. That way you can just install and freeze your dependencies. And you can share these out to make sure everyone can have a working version of your application. We've seen how you can use code snippets and define code snippets in VS Code, so you can reuse this larger pieces of code across different projects. It's very inconvenient. Now we're going to see how you can run and debug your application in Visual Studio Code. So I'm going to go back to my app here, and this is a Flask application, so I'm going to click on the Run view to customize how I'm going to run it. I could click on this button, but I want to create a configuration file so I can reuse it and configure it as I will. So once I click here, it will ask me to select a debug configuration because this is a list of preset configurations the Python extension has according to the kind of application I want to debug. In this case, it's Flask. So I'm going to select it here, and here it's asking me the entry point of the app. And we created that under web app, that is under logo app. So I am going to send this path to it. And once I create it here, it will create this launch.json file, which will configure the debugger. And it has a few fields. So for name, for example, it will configure the name that will show here on this drop-down menu because you can have multiple configurations for your debugger. And of course, it doesn't have to be Python specific. But you can also know which other arguments you can customize by relying on the auto-completions from VS Code as well, which is very convenient. And in this case, you can see that it's sending some arguments. For example, here we have args that are sending this no debugger and no reload arguments to Flask, and this is disabling the Flask live reload feature. By default, Flask, if your server is running and you make any changes and you hit save, it will detect that there were changes in your application and it will reload that server to apply those changes, unless you give these arguments to Flask. So I'm going to remove them because I do want the live reload functionality. And I also need to enable Flask debugging for it to work. So I'm customizing it like this. Great. Now let's try this out. I can run this configuration by clicking on this green button on the top left side, or I can also do so by clicking F5. And once the server is running, it will show me a link that I can easily just access by control clicking on it, which is very convenient as well. And here we go. If I do a control click, it will load up my application. Awesome. Yay. Great. So if I come back here, I can come to my files. Let me close some of them. If I come here to the views file, I can add a breakpoint, for example, and then once I hit a refresh my request there, it will stop at this. And from here, I can step over code and interact with it. And if I hover over the variables, I'm able to see their values, and I can also inspect arguments and things like that. I can also do the same from the variables window, which is very convenient. I can also step into code to see the execution and everything. What is also very nice is that we have a debug console. So this will you're able to interact with the variables given the current state on the debugger. So for example, we have the URL. I can do some expressions and then do some evaluations and things like that, which is very nice, especially when you're debugging to try to find specific pieces of code, specific pieces of bug that you want to analyze. Other really cool features that this debugger supports are conditional breakpoints. So if I right-click on this edit on this breakpoint, I can edit. And I can add a certain expression. I can do, for example, only break given a specific condition. I can also do a hit count if you're in a loop and you want it to stop just if there is a certain count that was hit. You can do so as well. There are log messages, so in this case the debugger will not stop on that line, but it will print whatever log message you want in the debug console to just make sure to just specify that it did pass that piece of code. So that's pretty awesome as well. And once I hit continue, my app is still running here, nice and smooth. I need to remove that breakpoint. Great. Awesome. So one thing that I can do is like make a change, for example. So suppose I will change this to Flask and hit save. Once I hit save, if I come here to my terminal, you see that the Flask web server detected a change on that file and it's reloading the server. So that means it will update these changes, and once it reloads the app, it will consider these changes that I'm making, which is pretty neat too. Awesome. So a brief overview of what we've just seen with web development. You see how you can run and debug your applications by configuring it, and then the Python extension has a preset of configurations. We've seen how you can do it for Flask and configure it for to have live reloading support. We've seen how you can use the debugger to debug your application and inspect how your code runs line by line. We've seen a little bit of big breakpoints, regular breakpoints, but how you can also have conditional ones that will only stop given a condition, or log points that will simply print out once that line was hit. We're seeing how you can inspect the variables and arguments of and attributes of these objects in the variables window, and as well as hovering over them in the editor. We've seen the debug console that gives you that ability to interact with your current state of the debugger with your variables and everything and do some explorations. We've seen also the auto reloading feature that works even in the debug session, the Flask server live reloads, giving your changes. So I don't have much time to show how you can configure tests, but I'm going to give a quick overview of the test support that is offered in the Python extension. So there is the test configuration experience that allows you to set up a framework that you can use. So there's unit tests, PyTest, and nodes. There is a test explorer that you can visualize your test status and run your tests and debug your tests as well. I won't be able to cover it in this video, but if you want to check out the demo that I have linked at the end of this presentation in the resources page, you can go there and there will be set of instructions of how you can have that configure this test experience configured in VS Code with the Python extension. But a brief overview is that you have this configuration experience to set up the framework and where your tests are lying in. And once it's fully configured, there are some steps that you need to do for Flask and Django specifically. But then once it's configured, you can have that test explorer view with the test status, and you can debug and run individual tests or even a full class suite of tests as well. So you can try all of these out today. The Python extension, you can enroll into our Insiders program where we update changes. You can get changes daily or weekly with the latest bug fixes and features that we're developing. You can get the remote extensions in Visual Studio Online from the following links and learn more about it as well. It's really awesome, and I definitely recommend you to try it out. And do send us feedback. If you have any expectations, any issues, let us know, and we'll try to assist as best as we can. So here are a few resources, how you can get those products. This is the link for my demo as well here on GitHub. And I definitely recommend a few talks if you have the opportunity to watch. So there is one that is going to talk specifically about the data science workflow with Python and VS Code. And it goes more deeply into the Jupyter features and the data science features in the Python extension that are really awesome. There's also a great talk about VS Code tips and tricks where you can learn how to take the best out of this tool. There are really amazing features, and you can cover a little bit more on that talk. And there's also the new era of development talking about Visual Studio Code Spaces. And this, you'll get a little bit more understanding of Visual Studio Online and other platforms as well. So that's it. Thank you so much for watching. Bye.